Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips of the PC. It is Saturday, the 2th of June, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues, here comes the news. And we welcome Steve Ray back. He was last week one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Badlands of the Southwest, among the mesas covered, and the...
covered in gunpowder and ammonium perchlorate.
And alkali from the dry lakes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, once more, we have a monthly Windows Office patch scorecard that needs a guidebook or two. And we just got a handful of buried warnings about problems in old patches, plus a brand new way to fry your network interface card. Yay! Thus continues the tradition of two cumulative updates per month for all of the supported Windows 10 versions. That's 8 cumulative updates in total. In addition to bobs and weaves and a very long list of acknowledged bugs introduced by recent security patches in Windows 7. The strange behavior of the CRED SSP update, where the patch Tuesday fixes for all versions of Windows seem to break remote desktop protocol, has been resolved. The unpaid beta testers for Windows 10 April 2018 update, better known than version 1803, that's you, by the way, earned their salaries this month with triple overtime. The embarrassing bug in the original 1803, released on April 30th, bricked any computers with an Intel SSD drive, including some of Microsoft's SSD 6 drive, including some of Microsoft's own Surface Pro 2017 computers. Oops. A similar but different bug dogged PCs with Toshiba SSDs. The bug persisted in the first cumulative update for Windows 10 1803, but was finally put to sleep last week with the second cumulative update, which finally made 1803 installable on most common PCs.
Even those PCs that had update turned off.
Right, right, exactly. Installable, mind you, not stable. For example, there are many reports of 1803 driving batteries and nuts. If you're using Windows 10, you saw big multiple patches in April. Not just patches, but patches for patches. And sometimes repatches for those patches. Windows 7 continues to be singled out for back-breaking patch-induced bugs. There's an issue with Windows and a third-party software that's related to a missing file. Because of this issue, after you apply this update, the network interface controller will stop working. That announcement appeared out of the blue on May 26th. There's no indication which third-party software is at fault or who should avoid the patch, but such are the vagaries of Windows patching. And Microsoft won't say which vendor or vendors and or which network card or cards are getting cracked by the patch. Some people are also saying that after applying the Windows 7 security-only patches, that's the only kind you get for Windows 7 anymore, they can't boot anymore. And, of course, Microsoft isn't going to support them. They don't care anymore about Windows 7. Bottom line, before you update Windows, always make an extra backup of your systems just in case. And if a backup kills Windows 7 for you, oh well. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is how's Windows update going for you? Your choices are no problems, it worked eventually, it bricked my computer, and no problems, I use a real OS. So... so far, we've got 28 votes, and 57% of you said, no problems, I use a real OS. One person, it did, in fact, brick their computer. I know you'll have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion, and so far, at least, the first item on the poll discussion is 2 June 18. How's Windows Update going for you? So far, there are three posts. And I know you want to join in that discussion. And also, of course, you can join us online by giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
This is just another side note from a caller.
Yeah.
Answering her question, because she heard it while we were getting ready. The Smugtown Stompers, that is going to be on the Jazz Cruise, which is going to be June 11th. She had a question about that, was interested in attending. And
many of those are sold out, though.
Yeah, many of them are sold out. So go to our website if you can, or give the station a call. But the Smugtown Stompers.
During the week.
During the week.
Five,
right.
Not now.
For that lady that called and wanted to know about it, that is going to be on the cruise with June 11th. So
perfect.
You can call and check that.
Thanks.
Yep.
Also, for those of you who are having problems with Windows updates, I've added a new page to the Security Tango. If you go to securitytango.com and you look at the menu across the top there under Windows Software, the first choice is Windows Update Problems. And there's a whole page on things to try there. Obviously, if your machine has been bricked, that is to say it won't even boot, nothing else will help you. You need to take it to a professional. But if it... if it's just if you can boot it but you can't do the update or whatever, Microsoft's answer, of course, is wiping the drive and reinstalling Windows 10 from scratch. And to give Microsoft their due, that does work.
Yeah,
sometimes
the nuclear option.
It is the nuclear option.
Caller last week, I felt so sorry for her when I was editing the podcast. You know, what can I do? What recourse do I have with Microsoft? And I'm sorry, none.
None, I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't use Microsoft products.
Microsoft doesn't care. Yeah. That's simple enough.
And going back to what you said earlier about have an update before you do a Windows update, make sure you have
a backup.
Yeah, make sure you have a backup. Since you can't tell when Windows is going to update, always have a backup.
Yeah, backup every day. Backup every day.
And... one thing I'm going to get on my high horse about.
Uh-oh.
What if we... the Security Tango.
Yeah.
Does that only include... I'm wondering whether, you know, something was changed and I was unaware of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did we ever change the format that we don't... we only recommend one product for cleaning out spyware and malware?
No. There's bunches of stuff on there.
Oh, really?
There's bunches of stuff on there.
Because I had this one individual call. I didn't get back to him the next day, but he couldn't wait. He wound up getting scammed.
Yeah.
So he wound up taking his computer to some other place. Again, I won't know. And they go, oh, yeah. No, you only need this one. The other are just junk.
You need one of each type.
Right.
And yeah. I said, wait a minute. I says, as far as spyware and malware, no one product can do the job correctly.
Right. It's why you run multiple products. It's why the Tango takes long time to run.
Yeah, and but this guy is sitting there feeding him a, oh, no, yeah, they're totally unnecessary. You only need this one.
Yeah, so you need one antivirus program. You need one anti-malware program. You need one anti-pop-up program.
Right.
You can't get one program that tries to do them all because it doesn't do any of them very well.
And then he's being told, because he didn't have that one on there, oh, yeah, he's probably going to have the machine wiped. And he goes, but I'm going to lose everything. Before they wipe it, tell them no.
Yeah, just no.
Just no. There is no reason.
You'll come and pick up my machine. Thank you very much.
I says, and if he does, you know, they don't do it that way, then, you know, go and pick it up. Bring it over to me. I will take care of it. There is no reason that machine has to be wiped. It wasn't a Windows update. It's just one of those hoaxes that grabbed your machine, and now they're just going to try to get you for more money.
Yep.
That's often the easiest thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Wipe it and reinstall it.
Yeah, but then, as your, you know, your caller said, yeah, you'll lose everything. You haven't backed up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
right.
That's also true.
No, you need to be aware that the nuclear option is always out there. Wipe out your machine.
Yeah.
Or you know, just take an axe to it and buy a new one. That's certainly a possibility.
Oh, that works
as well.
Too. Yeah.
But before you do that, there might just be one or two other things you could try.
You think?
I'm just suggesting that.
Taking a wild stab in the dark there?
Yeah, just right off the top of my head, I'm thinking. So if you go to the Security Tango at securitytango.com, click on Windows Software. The very first choice is Windows Update Problems. And if you read through that page and then print it out, and I want to thank Dave, one of my readers from the newspaper column. I put all this stuff in a newspaper column about a month ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when they I just write them and send them in. They run them when they run them. But I put it in the paper, and he wrote to me, and he's the one who suggested that I make it part of the Tango because it worked for him, and several other people said it worked for them. So here it is, and it's not a quick solution, but it's a working solution, and it's never a bad idea to give that a try. So
I've also put that direct link on the Songbox
perfect.
Page too.
And here's the other thing that I want to clear up. Yes, when we come to say when it comes to virus programs, yes, you only need one of those. But this is a totally different issue, folks. Spyware and malware have two different ways of attacking your machine. That's why one program can't handle both of those fully.
And
right.
An antivirus isn't enough anymore because
no.
Viruses are on the downturn. It's now we're seeing spyware
and malware
and malicious software and fake virus warning messages,
mm-hmm.
and fake tech support messages. So.
And don't forget, you need to be able to remove rootkits, and you also
yep.
need
yeah.
a firewall.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless there's one in your router.
And just saying, for folks to be led on thinking, oh, yeah, I only need one program. It's a hassle to do all those others. Well, then fine. Let your machine get infected, and then you'll be calling us again.
And most machines nowadays are fast enough that if you're running all those things, you don't even notice it.
And, you know, those scans, like we've told folks for a long time, run them at night. You know, run
right.
one night, one the other night. You know, if...
Well,
whatever.
These days, most machines are fast enough that you could run the whole suite overnight. But
yeah.
you can, if you're running by hand, run one tonight, run one tomorrow. Exactly. The
yeah.
the likelihood that whatever you and you will get hit
mm-hmm.
because there's a million bots out there that are doing this at computer speed all day, all night.
It's not if, it's when.
It's when. But the likelihood that you will be hit only once, and by the one thing that you actually are protecting against, is ridiculously low. If that's what happens to you, play the lotto immediately.
Yeah, really?
For everybody else, multiple protections are required because there are multiple attacks. So get out there, make sure that your machine is covered. Also, I do need to say, I guess I need to figure out a way to make this a little plainer to people. I am keeping the Security Tango running costs me money, and it ain't as cheap as I'd like it to be. So I am running ads on the Tango site, and not all of and those ads come out of the Google Ad Network. So I don't necessarily. I have no idea what ads are going to be running. So, you know, be careful about what you pull out of the side or across the top.
And they're not endorsements.
They're not, definitely not endorsements. But it's interesting to me that I put it up last week and it's already been hit 106 times, so I'm very pleased about that. But I need people to know that if, in fact, you've been hit by the... one of the update issues that there is something you can try to do before the nuclear option of wiping out your machine or just shooting it a couple of times, buying a new one, tossing it in the canal.
Yeah, I mean, when
leaving
I
a
heard
swamp
that,
in New Jersey.
That, and I go, you know, because as I was talking to the guy, oh really? He goes, you're telling me that's not the right way? I said, well, what do you think? And as far as wiping out your drive, I go, that would have been my last resort. He goes, no, don't tell me that.
Uh-huh.
He told me it was the only recourse. I go, no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not
playing
always.
That one. Not on my watch.
Okay. The audio is fixed on the YouTube stream now. Unfortunately, some of the ads that come up are for the crappy programs that pay a lot of money for ads.
I have no control over those. I just, unless people are donating day and night, I have no control over what ads come up. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. We've got Tom waiting patiently on the line. And you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Tom from Rochester, New York, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Hi, Tom. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Question. I recently just tried to access my Excel and Word files, and I get an error message that says the application virtualization client could not launch the application you requested. The AVC service is not running, and then it gives me an error code.
AVC service?
Application virtualization AVC client.
Okay. Yeah.
What version of Word and Excel is it?
It's an older version. I don't know offhand. I've had it on my machine, on my computer for a long time, and I've never had any problems.
And you're just running, what version of Windows are you running?
I have Windows 10.
I mean,
I did a little, I just Googled that. It came up something worse. It said something, it could be corrupted, some of the, I don't know if the programs could be corrupted.
And these are files you've already had open and
created
yourself.
I've had them on my computer. I've been using them for years.
Let me get this out of the way before we go back to trying to solve the problem itself. If it turns out there's something, are you running this all locally or are you accessing files somewhere else?
No, it's all on just on my hard drive, my computer.
That's okay.
Yeah.
At any rate, if nothing else works, try downloading and installing LibreOffice. LIBRE.
Yeah, I know. I've that was the other sort of a follow up question I had. I know I've heard you recommend that before.
Right. It should have no.
Can access and run.
Yes.
The Excel. Okay.
Yes, that's not a problem.
Compatible with the Microsoft Excel and Word programs.
You can check. Have you tried rebooting the computer?
Rebooting it in what way?
Shut it down and turn it back on.
Yeah. I mean, it just usually I'm on it for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours every day.
Are you running?
I don't leave it running. I usually shut it down. I just started it up again today, and this
okay,
is
okay, Tom.
Hold on.
Tom.
The third day, and
Tom
tried to access the files, but
it doesn't matter. He can't hear us. Are you Tom?
Yes.
There we are. Are you running a program called WhatsApp or Telegram?
No, I've never heard of them.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out why you're running AVC.
Well, the problem is he's not.
But I mean, where did it come from? What?
You could
it
check.
Just says that that's the error message I got.
Right.
It could not launch.
You could check this
at application.
Check the services and see if it's
at an application virtualization client, the AVC. I never heard of it.
There's a couple of suggestions to uninstall Office and reinstall.
I think that's what they said when I Googled it. Uninstall both the Excel and the Word.
Oh, I know what this is. This is click to run. Okay. I'm sorry. Here's what you do.
Okay.
And Steve can put up a link to this fix. There's a piece of Office called click to run. And it's the thing that when you click on a file, it runs the Office program related to that file. And I wasn't thinking. I apparently need more coffee today. AVC it can be part of that. So particularly if you're running something like Office 365. But at any rate, If you're running Windows 10,
yes.
On the start screen, type Control Panel.
Okay.
And then open up the Control Panel, and under Programs, you want uninstall a program. Now, don't get excited. We're not going to uninstall anything.
Yeah, no, I think I've done that before.
The quick repair?
But sometimes, you know, ever since I updated to Windows 10, when I look in programs, I don't see Excel or Word as a program that's on my computer.
You don't see them?
They're not listed in.
I haven't checked in a while because how I get on it is I just go to my directory.
Right, and they're not there.
I click on the file, whether it's an Excel or Word file, and I just say open it, and then it automatically opens up the Excel or the Word program.
Right, and you're saying those aren't there anymore.
I have, this is a while ago when I was looking for it, and I never saw Excel or Word on as a listing of a program that I have on my computer.
In the Ad Remove program.
In the Ad Remove programs or in the Start menu?
I really can't remember.
All right.
You say the Start menu? What was the other one you said?
The Ad Remove programs you were talking
about. I can't recall.
Okay,
But I know one time I just didn't see him. I said, that's strange.
Okay, so here's what you need to do.
Okay.
If you go to the Start menu and you scroll down that list of programs.
Okay.
And the Office programs are not in there. If they're not in there, then the problem is that somehow they were removed and it doesn't matter how.
Or the register got corrupted.
Right, they got corrupted through an update, or you accidentally removed them, or some update removed them. Doesn't matter how. The point is they're gone. So you then either have to reinstall them or use a program like LibreOffice in their place.
Okay, do you recommend LibreOffice over the Microsoft programs?
I do, because LibreOffice is free and does everything about 99.9% of people need Office to do.
Okay. And then, and that would be able to access the existing files.
Yeah, when you install it, you may get a message. Read all your messages carefully before you just say next, next, next.
Yes.
Because you may get a message that says, do you want to associate Office files with LibreOffice?
Okay, and I assume I would click yes on
that. You click yes.
Okay.
But please, don't just go next, 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 next.
No, I try to read things, but sometimes I would read them, and I don't really understand.
No, I get it. These should be real simple questions.
Okay.
Just make sure that if that one comes up, you say yes.
Yes, okay. All right.
And from then,
look for the programs. In the Start menu, go Control Panel Programs, right?
Right. Well, Steve's put up a link to how to do the repair, just in case.
Okay, on your Security Tango?
No, on the Soundbites website.
Or the Soundbites site. Okay.
Right. Now, if in fact somehow the program has been corrupted or removed, that thing that's on the Soundbites website right now will not work.
The repair is
quick to run, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. The repair process for Office, click to run.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, then that means that the program has somehow been corrupted or erased, and now it's time to run LibreOffice.
Yeah, that's sort of what they said on that error code, when I did a little Google on it.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Something could have been corrupted.
Yep.
Can I ask you one other quick question?
Quickly, yeah.
You guys were talking about Security Tango.
Yeah.
Did you once, I thought I either heard you on your show or read in your article, that you advise to store the Security Tango programs on an external hard drive?
No, what I said was it's possible to download them all, put them on like a thumb drive, and then put them on another machine. Because sometimes you have a machine that's infected and you don't want it on a network.
Okay.
And if the machine is infected, sometimes it will prevent you from downloading the anti-programs.
Right. So if you download them on another machine, put them on a thumb drive, move them over to that machine. But then, of course, you want to reformat that thumb drive when you're done because it could also now be infected.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. You guys are the best.
Thanks. Have fun, Tom. Good luck. I do recommend LibreOffice. It, like I said, it does 99% of everything anybody ever needs Microsoft Office to do, and it's free. I mean, why would you not give it a try? It's free. And I've been using it. As people know, before I retired, I was at the Saunders College of Business. And I used it for, 15 years there. Everybody else was using Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew I wasn't using Office because it reads and writes Office files.
I like their slogan, free Office Suite, fun project, fantastic people.
Yes, they are. And here's the really interesting thing is that I got a reputation at RIT. I can say this now because I'm retired. I don't care what they think. They thought I was a wizard. Now I'm giving away the secret.
You really BS'd them good, huh?
I BS'd them good, real good. I told you, I was an actor, and for 20 years I acted like I knew what I was doing at work. Okay. The basic point
got a retirement out of it.
Exactly. The thing is that people would say to me, oh, my Office, Microsoft, usually Word program is corrupted. The document is corrupted, and I can't read anything now. What do I do? Can you fix it for me? And I would load it into LibreOffice. And most of the time, see, when Microsoft Office comes to a corrupted part of a file,
it chokes.
It just throws up its hands and says, I don't know what's going on. I quit. We're done. Forget it. Can't do it. But what LibreOffice does is say, I don't get this part. I'll just skip it until I find something I get. So it would load the document with maybe some garbage somewhere in the middle. And then I could give the person the document back and say, well, I got about 90% of it back. And that's so much better than zero that they were happy.
Yeah.
Of course, all of that could have been avoided if they just backed the thing up. But that's a different story for a different time. So now that I'm retired, I don't mind giving away all my guru secrets, one of which, of course, is use LibreOffice to read Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And that worked every single time. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Phil from Webster, New York. Hi, Phil. What's up?
Hey, I bought a LG Ultra Slim Portable Writer for my Asus, and I loaded the Media Suite 10 into it, and for about a month it worked. And then I lost the video part of it, and when I reloaded the disk, I came up with a error code 1628. I was wondering how one fixes that.
1628?
Yes.
Failed to
complete the script. Or failed to complete installation, which is weird.
Uninstall and reinstall? Uninstall, re-download, and reinstall.
Download now, current, make sure you got the current software.
Right. Now, you're saying the DVD writer actually worked.
Yes, it did.
For a while, and now you're getting the 1628 error. Was there a Windows update?
There could have been. I don't know.
Because generally speaking, the 1628 update is the 1628 error is fail to complete installation. And so what it sounds like is there was an update, and then the software tried to reinstall. Choked or whatever, but it seems to me that doing a clean reinstall of the software is the thing you need to do. And again, now was this originally a Windows 7 machine?
No, it was. Wait a minute, it could have been. I don't remember now. Yeah, it could have been a 7, and then it upgraded to a 10.
Yep. And that's certainly part of it. What you probably need to do is to go to the LG website and make sure you've got the latest driver for that particular drive, you know, based on its part number, like the GP40NB40 or whatever the number is for that particular one. Make sure you've got that particular drive and make sure it's for Windows 10.
Okay.
And then do either a driver update or a complete reinstall, whichever the software tells you to do. Because that's what it sounds like. It attempted to do a reinstall of the software. Often what happens is when you do a significant update on Windows, it uninstalls a bunch of drivers and then reinstalls them all in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And what it sounds like in this case is that it uninstalled that driver and then could not reinstall it. That's what a 1628 error means.
Okay. Okay.
My first inclination would be to download the latest and greatest version of that driver for that particular device for Windows 10.
And then I'll give it a try.
And then do a reinstall. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
We're professionals.
We're professionals. Dave confused his point and his poke.
No.
It's poke, then point.
No, normally when I hit that...
Yeah, there's usually
there's bumper music. Rob puts background music.
Yeah.
There's no background music.
And that stupid, 5 seconds of background music keeps getting flagged by YouTube auto content as copyright violation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we get that every week.
Every week, yeah.
At least we're consistent.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to cut it down to 3 seconds and it won't cause a problem. So here's a fascinating story. Ingenuity of the human brain, particularly for evil, never ceases to amaze me. Attackers can cause potentially harmful hard drive and operating system crashes by playing sounds over your computer's speakers. The attacks use sonic and ultrasonic sounds to disrupt magnetic hard drives as they read and write data. The researchers showed how the technique could stop some video surveillance systems from recording live streams. Just 12 seconds of specially designed acoustic interference was all it took to cause video loss in a 720p system. Sounds that lasted for 105 seconds or more caused the stock Western Digital 3.5 hard drive in the device to stop writing altogether until it was rebooted. The device uses flash storage to house its firmware. By default, it uses a magnetic hard drive to store the large quantities of video it records. The attack used a speaker hanging from a ceiling that rested about 4 inches above the surveillance system's hard drive. The researchers didn't remove the casing or otherwise tamper with the surveillance system. For such systems, the integrity of the recorded data is vital to the usefulness of the system, which makes them susceptible to acoustic interference or vibration attacks. The technique was also able to disrupt hard drives in desktop and laptop computers running both Windows and Linux. In some cases, it even required a reboot before the PCs worked properly again. The technique took as little as 45 seconds to cause a Dell XPS 15 9550 laptop to become temporarily unresponsive when it was exposed to a self-stimulation attack, meaning when the laptop played malicious audio over its own built-in speaker. When the sound played for 2 minutes or more, the computer had to be rebooted for the drive to work properly again. The technique works because audible sound can cause a hard drive's head stack assembly to vibrate outside of normal bounds. The vibrations push the head far enough from the center of the drive track to temporarily prevent writing. Ultrasonic sound, by contrast, can create false positives in a hard drive shock sensor, which is designed to prevent a head crash. This causes a drive to unnecessarily park its head. And, of course, it has to be rebooted before it will unpark the head again. Besides being used against computers and surveillance systems, the researchers said the attack might also target medical devices that use magnetic hard drives. The researchers, at this point at least, is largely esoteric because there's already much easier ways to temporarily take down computers and embedded systems. Still, it raises the possibility that one day attackers may have a new means to perform denial-of-service attacks. The researchers who demonstrated the technique at last week's IEEE Symposium on Security and Privacy have proposed several methods for detecting and preventing the attacks, some of which can be implemented with simple firmware tweaks. How careful are you about what you download and play on your computer? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
In other words, you don't want to download that one Beach Boys tune?
No.
Good Vibrations?
Good Vibrations.
What's interesting is this story. I hear a telephone off the hook.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do not.
I do. Yeah, it's in. If I turn my volume up, it's in the headphones. Anyone else hear a telephone off the hook? But
stop talking. So no, I don't.
I can.
Interesting. I believe you.
Listen. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I hear some type of beeping.
Yeah, that's the fast beep. There's a telephone off the hook.
I hear the very, 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 very faintly.
Hit your yellow button to turn the telephone off, not just pot it down.
See what happens. I don't know.
So the origins of this go back at least 10 years. I just posted a link to a YouTube video from 10 years ago where someone in a Sun data center posted a blog showing him shouting at the servers. And the server monitor shows the drive's throughput dropping drastically. So an interesting discover turns into an exploit in just a few years.
Right. And it would be easy for someone to write an exploit that was just malicious.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
You know, you put like a download of a bootleg song. Yeah. Right, somebody doesn't want to pay the 99 cents for a piece of music, so they download it for free from somewhere that someone has put some popular song out there. But in the middle of it is this ultrasonic thing that just shuts their machine down. Yep.
Remember when?
And frankly, you deserve it.
When BearShare was out there.
Oh yes, LimeWire.
Yeah, and the number of folks that would come into our shop.
Yep.
Because, as a matter of fact, I had one lady come in 3 times, and she goes, "You didn't do it right. The machine's infected again." So I take a quick look at it, and I says, "BearShare's back on it." "I didn't put it on there." I says, "Do your kids use it?" "Well, yeah, they share my computer with me." I says, "Well, then you got to tell them to stop doing it."
Somebody did. We were just talking about that this morning with some customers, that the whole idea of pirated songs has kind of died because you've got Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, so many free
places. iHeartRadio.
Yeah, free places to listen to music. You don't care about downloading it anymore.
Right.
But we've shifted into pirated movies.
Right.
Because those are still, yeah.
Well, and it gets kind of ridiculous. I've been exploring the dark web, as they say. I've got a VM that's running an operating system called Tails. And I've been exploring the dark web for some stuff, and it's amazing what's out there, and it's amazing how much of it is malicious software pretending to be something cool, you know? And if you're not incredibly careful, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. It's the first weekend of the month, so that means first Thursday is next week. And the Rochester Googles will be meeting at Thursday at 7 o'clock at St. John's Meadows.
Yep, and we'll be discussing all things Google, and you're welcome to join us. Anybody can come, and we'd love to see you there.
Yeah. So have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
And App Rochester is meeting on Tuesday the 5th. They meet the first Tuesday of the month. If you're into writing applications for Android or iOS, they meet at the RIT Center for Student Innovation. That's Circular Building.
That might be what we call it on the air.
Yeah, the Circular Building full of windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Tuesday at 5.
That's one thing.
No, the 5th at 6.
Speaking of,
you want to redo that just so everybody gets it for real.
Yeah, Tuesday, June 5th at 6 p.m. at the RIT Center for Student Innovation is App Rochester. Local developers that get together to talk about discussing and writing apps.
And to reiterate, Rochester Googles is Thursday, which is what, the 7th?
Thursday the 7th,
yeah. At 7 p.m. at St. John's Meadows.
just to go back to the RIT thing.
Yeah.
If you're going there during the evening, folks, all I can say is watch out. And what I mean by that is I was going by RIT very early on a Wednesday morning, you know, driving for the company I work for. And the amount of deer.
Oh, yeah.
That are around RIT. Holy bananas.
Good. Deer are not stupid. They know that that's a protected area.
Holy and moly. So
now, how do you get the deer to walk where the signs are?
Yeah. The deer put the signs up. I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, I literally had just a quick stop because out of the woods, right near campus,
yep.
Eight deer come waddling out, going across the street, headed east, westbound. It's like, whoa.
One of the real joys of working at RIT, and because I was the system administrator, I was often there at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever it was. One of the real joys of working at RIT is coming out early in the morning on my way home, finally, and there are just deer everywhere out on the lawn.
Yeah.
One time, I come out, and there's a buck standing to my left, and he lowers his head and he starts snorting, and I realize I look over to the right and there's a doe and I'm in between them and he's unhappy. I just kept walking. I said, fella, she's all yours.
They're even getting brass enough that they're going out on the front lawn on Jefferson Ave near the sign, the main entrance, and I saw four of them there one time. It's like, whoa, like you said, they are not afraid at all.
They're not afraid. They know that there's no hunting there. They know that, legal.
The whole Henrietta area is getting ridiculously overtaken
You're right. If you're out there morning or evening.
Yes, they're on the run.
You need to be very careful.
Yes.
You need to be very careful.
Or otherwise you will have a new hood ornament.
Yeah, but no new hood. You'll end up with a new hood. That's right. No, it's but I will tell you that it is truly a lovely sight to see. And they're not afraid of you. They'll walk within feet of you. Without any issues whatsoever.
Well, we go. My wife works, does a lot of work for Find a Grave.
Right.
We go over to Holy Sepulchre Church, or the cemetery rather, and it's the I think we counted eight deer over there one time, and they're just wandering around. You know, they know they're safe in there too, and it's unbelievable.
It's pretty amazing. We love to see them. The young deer that are...
I just feel bad because it is starting to get overpopulated.
Well, there's got to be... Yeah, they're going to do something about it. And whatever it is, it's not going to be...
Yeah, it's going to offend somebody, but...
Yeah. But no, it's... I'll tell you what, if you're into nature and yada, 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 head out there some early morning.
That'd be cool.
When it's a little bit foggy and, just the...
Like I say, I was cruising on in there.
It's gorgeous.
Because the client... Couple of clients that I had on, whoa, look at that. And we just stopped and watched them slowly go across the street. That's cool. And there was one new buck.
As long as you stopped, it's cool.
Yeah, right.
Well, around those areas, I've learned down in the Henrietta area, and there, certain parts of the town, you go up through Durand, you keep to the speed limit because those deer will come out and hit somebody and like nobody's business. I had a friend, she got hit on a motorcycle.
Yep.
Deer came down out of the hills, and bam, they had a hard time telling her from the deer and the bike.
Yep.
So
my in-laws used to live out in Leroy, your choice, and coming home, I may have a reputation for a lead foot, but not around there. I'm a creeper.
In your little wind-up car?
In my little wind-up car. I'm a creeper out there because I can't tell you how many deer I've seen off to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that means somewhere there's a car missing its entire front end.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So out there, I was quite the creeper. And this is the season, so time to be careful now and in the fall. It's time to be careful. I was doing summer stock. 1 year, and we lived in New Lebanon, New York, and we were performing in Spencertown. So it was about a half hour, 40-minute drive. Not the way I drive, the way an average person drives, down to there, off backwoods, everywhere backwoods. Going home late one night, early one morning from the show, I stopped at a stop sign, and suddenly an entire herd of deer
came
over the hood of my car. And for eight years that I owned that car, there were hoof dents in the hood as they just went. Some of them leaped it. Some of the younger ones, luckily it was only the younger, lighter ones, landed on the car and took off again. And I just sat there. I was entranced by it. A little bit porky about my hood, but entranced by it. And it was pretty cool. It was very cool.
So, yeah. So if you're going out there, folks, for that evening meeting, again, just a little heads up, trying to give you a little fair warning.
Yeah, yeah, be careful. This is the time of year.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're on a bike.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Now, you've had good luck with the horn I recommended that you get.
Oh, yeah, I've got that air horn, and I think that wakes up the dead.
Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to go on a train?
It was a truck air horn is what I suggested that he buy. But so, again, you know, when you're out there, be careful. Look, just stay home and listen to us and play on your computer. It's probably better. That music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But we're going to give you a chance to do it again. So hang in there tight. Just go and get yourself an adult beverage, whatever else you do, for a couple of minutes. And then come on back, because we've got a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. We'll have way too much of Dave Enright, way, way too much of Steve Ray, not nearly enough of Nick Francesco, and of course all of you. So stay tuned. It's more sound bites on the truly great. And as always, truly grateful to you that we can remain member supported. Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, you know what? We're Soundbites.
Still?
We're going to do another hour here?
We're going to do a whole nother hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour.
No, 55 minutes.
You're creeping headlong into the second hour, second 55 minutes of the longest running computer show in the known universe. We did look the website for those who are very interested still in the cruises, which are amazing, the jazz cruises. The website tells you which ones are sold out and which ones we still have tickets for. So be careful which ones you are interested in. Check them out and call Monday. Or look at the thing online, and do it quick, because they are selling out. It is a very, very popular thing, and it's not as open as you might think. It fills up fast. Yeah. Right. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Jerry. What's up?
Hi, fellas. I had followed and used the Security Tango for almost as long as it. You guys have had it put together under the label Security Tango.
Sure.
And it was working great. And about 6 months ago, all of a sudden, I was running one of the programs, and I can't remember. I just pulled over. I'm in my car. I can't remember exactly which one, but I got into a heck of a mess, and I couldn't back myself out. I couldn't figure out how to. Otherwise, other than to use the nuclear option, and I didn't want to do that.
Right.
So I took it to one of the people that I think advertises with you guys, or you talk about, that supports PC-type you know, operations and all that other stuff.
Right, we've had a number of advertisements.
And I show it to them, and they said, well, let's look. And I said, well, gee, I run the security tango, and one tech looks at the other and kind of raises an eyebrow. And I said, well, why don't you guys sort it out? So they called me back 2 days later, and they said, well, we sorted it out, and it looks like you were running multiple programs trying, and they were fighting each other. And I said, well, gee, I was just following the security tango. And their comment was, we've had a number of people that have had the same situation with the security tango, and what we do is we run Windows Defender.
Sure.
And it's the only thing we run. And guys,
now.
I could take you to Ridge Road, and I could show you the office on Ridge Road.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So, look, Windows Defender, as with any of these things, Windows Defender is, they leapfrog. You know, one is good, one is bad. You know, it starts out good, and then they get around it, and they fix that, and they get around it, and they fix that. So it depends on where you are in the cycle as to which ones are good and which ones are bad, and that's true of all of them. But as we recommend, you should run an antivirus program constantly in the background. Most people don't pay for super anti-spyware or malware bytes, and so they don't run them full-time, although you certainly can. Where people run into trouble is when they run multiple antivirus programs simultaneously.
And we have several different antivirus programs listed on the Tango. That doesn't mean you should run them all simultaneously.
Right. As it says in the Tango itself, pick one.
And believe it or not, even though I sound like I just fell off a turnip truck, that's all I did. I only ran one. And then what I did is I ran the last thing where you go into the registry, you know, and it kind of clean. I can't think of the name of it because I haven't run it in 6 months.
CC but, Cleaner?
Yeah. C Cleaner, yeah.
And they said, oh, no, we never run any of that stuff. So for the last 6 months, it's been going great. Now, I don't know what my machine is doing in terms
right.
of whether it's a bot to 1,000 other machines in North Korea or what, but I hear you guys, and I was on my way to the store, and I hear you guys talking about running this stuff, and I said, well, gee, I don't want to hurt your feelings to tell you some of these, quote, full-time pros raise their eyebrows when I say I'm running this, when I said I'm running the security tango.
Right.
And so I don't know. I mean, you're pros. I know you're pros.
Right.
I think they're pros because what they did is they got me out of the doo-doo. And
right.
They got me up and running.
So
no, I think
good.
They're pretty good. At least they did that. Now, I understand it didn't happen Saturday at noon when my problem was, so I didn't have anybody to call, right? So it's me, the machine, trying to figure out what to do. And so that's the step I took. And then because they solved my problem, right now, they're
kind
of number one.
Absolutely. I understand
kinda.
That completely. I understand that completely. That's great. Here's the thing. No two Windows installations are alike. We've had hundreds of thousands of people download the Tango and use it. A few of them are always going to have problems. I'm sorry you were one of them. But the reality is that no two Windows installations are identical because they're all running different software,
different
levels of those software, different hardware, different drivers, blah, 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 blah. And what works for one person may not work for another. And in fact, what works for 99.9% of the people may not work for that other one-tenth 1%. Of 1%. So I understand your issue, and I'm sorry it happened to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Tango is bad. It certainly doesn't mean that those guys are wrong. You just are an exceptional and elite member
of
society.
Of course I am anyway. But you see, the thing is, even after I installed 10, which was probably 18 months ago, it ran fine. So with all my, and I don't have any crazy stuff. I ain't a gamer. All I do is I do email, I run Gmail, and I run, Internet Explorer. So I look at the internet. It's all I do. I'm not a gamer. I don't do this stuff. I don't write code. I don't build my own computer. None of that stuff. This is a Dell Inspiron 5520, I think.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, see, the one problem, Andy, the one problem I have with them in recommending Defender is that, see, Windows doesn't update Defender weekly. You know, it's sporadically. They might do it this month. They might do it maybe 2 months down the road. It's not something that is updated literally weekly. Sometimes super anti-spyware and malware bytes can be updated twice in one day.
Yeah,
because if they find something, Windows is not noted for supporting or updating their files. They tried to get into the antivirus software, and they got out of that quick too because they were getting into more deep water because machines were getting infected because they can't do the updates on a regular basis like most, say, antivirus or virus programs normally do.
And Windows Defender is built into Windows 10 and running all the time automatically. The fact that you got infected by something means it missed it.
Yep.
You know, no one program can catch everything.
Well, and that's a point as well. One of the things that you need to do is look and see if before you load something like Avast or AVG, make sure that Windows Defender is turned off. Because they're right. You shouldn't run two antivirus programs simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And it says that in the Tango. So you need to be aware that if Windows Defender is running on Windows 10, and you would rather use something like Avast or AVG or any one of the others, then you need to turn off Windows Defenders. And I need to make that plainer.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. There's too many words.
Too many words.
What should I do going forward? Now, so here I am, July or June 2nd. It's kind of running. I think it's running okay, but I really don't know. What should I do tomorrow on June 3rd? Do I follow the path that these guys recommended, or do I turn off Defender and try to load those things back in, all of which had run for 4 years fine? I mean, I went through five or six steps right through. I printed out the directions, and I went through it for doing the window waltz. And so where do I go now?
Well,
because you guys ain't going to be around to borrow at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, certainly whatever those guys told you to do, your machine is fixed. It's working fine. I'm not a huge fan of Windows Defender for the reason that Dave said. I would personally, I would turn off Windows Defender and load something else instead. But that's just me. If these guys, if you're happy with these guys and
want to go back and see him probably in the next 4 months.
Well, you want to go back and see him again? Yeah. Keep running Windows Defender. I don't know that. But the thing is that you say, well, I'm not a gamer. I don't do this. I don't do that. Right now, the biggest way that people get stuff, the bad guys get stuff into your machine, is just when you surf the web. You go to sites that have ads, and those ads infect your machine. I wish I could take ads off the Tango and infect every one of my websites. But, you know, I gotta pay to keep those websites running, and so I gotta get that money somewhere. So the point here is that you need to be protected. And most antivirus programs, and certainly Windows Defender, is not necessarily going to protect you against some of the malware you get in what we call drive-by infections, where you just go to any standard website that happens to be running ads, and boom, there you go. And they can be completely legitimate websites. The New York Times has run ads that caught people. Any website.
DNC got hit real bad a couple of weekends ago.
Yep.
Monday and Tuesday morning, we got a dozen computers had come in from an ad on the DNC.
Yep. And so you need to be running something. And if Windows Defender is in fact keeping your machine clean, well, God bless it. But it's just not my first choice. And you know what? That's what makes horse races.
Yep.
If everybody bet on the same horse, there wouldn't be any horse races.
And the big thing with the Security Tango is it's not something you need to do frequently. In all of its different steps, you know, you do it once to make sure you're clean, and then you know every week or so you run your antivirus, and your antivirus should be running all the time in the background. Let it do a manual scan just in case. Run the Malwarebytes and Super Agent spyware to catch the different threats that that can get in. And as Nick said, that's the threat now is drive-by downloads from a malicious ad on a legitimate web page. The fake tech support ads or the is your computer slow ad. Everyone thinks their computer's slow.
Mm-hmm.
So you download, even if you don't intend to, it will often download software.
In the background.
In the background and give you these dire warnings about how bad your computer is. And there's 1,000 problems. And if you pay us money, we'll fix your computer.
All of those, by the way, are fake. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okie doke.
Well, I guess I'll keep on listening. Maybe you guys will again mention. Maybe the other thing I need to do is bring it into another tech person that maybe had 7 or 8 machines with the DNC problem 2 weeks ago.
Right.
To have them take a look at it because maybe an ounce of prevention is worth whatever they said.
All right.
Right. It certainly doesn't hurt. Of course, you know, opinions are like belly buttons.
Yeah, everybody's got one.
And they're all full of lint.
And
so,
if you don't necessarily want to see them. Right. If you run into an issue, text me, dave@jazz90.1, and let me know what's going on.
901.org.
Thank you. I'm half thinking here.
Yeah.
Too many email addresses.
Yeah, no kidding. Dave@jazz901.org, and that's his email address, not his text.
Right, and you just email me, and I check that daily anyway. So it's on my phone, so if it comes in, I'll see it, and we can go from there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. For the ear, I'm glad you guys handled it so professionally. I was a little bit, Security Tango was the 3 years baby way back when you guys were on TV.
Right.
Anyway, yep. You know what I mean? In terms of providing support, again, for people like myself. And
right.
I didn't want to be necessarily a negative voice in the wind. And you guys handled it very professionally. So thanks for the time.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, the Tango's been up for 14 years. 1 month and 8 days, as a matter of fact. And so, we've had just a bucket load of people, 600,000 or so people have been there. And we're very happy to be helping them all for free. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik, Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And we have Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
Here he is. How are you, Joe? What do you know?
I'm doing fairly well. How about you folks?
Peachy.
Living the dream.
So, to reference the guy that was having trouble with his Excel sheets and so forth, for starters, unfortunately, when you go into, programs and features, they're usually sorted alphabetically. So if you look for Excel, it might not be under Excel. It might be under Microsoft Excel.
Right. Good point.
So it would be in the M's. And even then, it might not be listed separately. It might be part of Microsoft Office.
Right.
So that's maybe why he doesn't see it. If he were to go into those options, maybe he would see Excel as a separate item. That's
a good point. Thank you so much.
I run into that all the time on my Android tablet. It's like, gee, was that Authenticator or Google Authenticator?
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yep.
And I'll put in another vote for yes. LibreOffice is a wonderful suite. I use that on my Linux system all the time. And as you say, most of the time, unless people know how to dig into the document, they have no clue that I'm using LibreOffice to send them something.
Right.
Also, there is the possibility if you don't read that locally, you could if you have a Google account, you could upload that to Google Drive, and it will be converted to a Google document, whether it's a sheet or a presentation or whatever. That's yet another way you could get at your document if you can't get at it locally.
Right, and the thing people have to remember is that you can do, there's two things you can do. Well, there are multiple things you can do. Nobody expects Spanish Inquisition. First, you can upload a document as it is. But you can also upload a document to Google Drives and have it converted to Google's format. If you do that, it takes no space out of your allotment. You get, what is it, 15 gigs?
Mm-hmm.
And
15 gig by default, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you load things up and let it convert them to its format, they don't count against your quota. The third thing is that once they're up there converted, you can download them in any format that makes sense. So, for example, if I were to, say, download this document, my choices are to download it as a Microsoft Word document, an open document format, which is LibreOffice, a rich text format, as a PDF. If you want a cheap PDF converter, there it is,
mm-hmm.
as plain text, as a web page, or as an EPUB. So you can then download it and shoot it to your EPUB reader, your ebook reader. And you can do all of that right from the free Google Docs. So, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And that's one thing, though, about LibreOffice. It's done for a long time, and that's being able to save things as a PDF file.
Right.
That was built in. When even Microsoft Office wouldn't allow you to do it, you could sit there and save it as a PDF, pass it on to folks. This way they could not alter it or anything else, you know, change things around, say, oh, no, it said this way. No.
Right. And so you have an interesting way to... an interesting set of ways to do things that you normally do. Now, Microsoft now does have the ability to save as PDF, Microsoft Word and Excel, but you can still do either of the other ones. And like we said, unless you own Office already, certainly Google Docs and LibreOffice are free. And do all the stuff people need done. So,
especially when you get your second computer or third computer and realize you have to pay again for
right.
Microsoft Office on each computer.
Right, right, right. Whereas LibreOffice is open source software. You can put it on any machine you want.
Even on a tablet.
Even on a tablet. Put it on anything you like.
Chromebook is what I meant.
Yeah.
Now you can put it on a Chromebook.
You'll be able to once one of the things that Microsoft, who are they? Google has announced is that you'll be able to run Linux programs on a Chromebook. So you'll certainly be able to run a LibreOffice
yep.
on a Chromebook. Or of course, you could run Abbey Word or GNOME.
Just using Google Docs.
Numeric.
You know, I mean, that's already right there
and
for you.
It's already there.
And free storage.
Right.
Basically, when you're using their product and saving it up there, it's free storage.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon. The gentleman that had called earlier about having a problem when he went to a local shop. People have to remember not all shops are created equal.
Well, there is certainly that, but like we said, you know, that's what makes horse races.
Exactly.
There's nothing incorrect or whatever about what they said. It's just they have their preferences, we have our preferences, and that's what makes horse races and college bull sessions.
Right. I've taken my computer years back to different shops, and I've had shops that I've taken it to, and they've actually uninstalled my programs.
Yeah.
And then not tell me that they've uninstalled my programs for whatever reason that was, and had to reinstall all my programs, or I've taken it home, and none of my hardware works anymore, and never had an inkling that they would tell me, you know, geez, you have to go through and do this again.
Yep.
So, you know, it kind of leaves you in a spot. And like I said, not all shops are created equal. So you have to kind of find one that you like that kind of does things that you understand, or at least they explain things to you.
Yeah. In defense of them, though, Mark, I can remember back sometimes you would sit there and have to run certain software, and in the background it would disable other programs. I mean, they might still be there, but you click on them and they don't work. And because I can remember a long time back, I wound up doing a cleanup on that, and all of a sudden the gentleman comes back and said, well, this program and this program aren't working. Well, it's because when he was infected, this was back with viruses, it disabled right. and corrupted mm-hmm. some of the files linked in those programs. And like I told him, well, if you want to pay me to sit there and test out all your programs, you know, to make sure that they work, we can do that, but you're going to have to pay for it. Most technicians will go after the root of the problem. Usually it'll let you know, good software will let you know that it's going to affect this program or that program. Sometimes they don't. So in their defense...
So they may not have known.
They very well might not have known.
That's certainly a
possibility. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, I understand that. And that's, like you said, it's in defense. And I get that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever left your security program running on a computer when you've given it back? Because that's happened to me before.
I have gotten machines back from places that had... luckily, they came. This is when I was at RIT. We always check the machines when they come back, and there's more than once that I got a special diagnostic disc from the manufacturer that only the store is supposed, the dealer, the repair place is supposed to have.
I've done that. I've accidentally left discs
them in.
Because I'm so glad everything's done over the internet now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because we had to burn a disc for every single different model. It was a pain.
I, of course, immediately called them up and told them what had happened and said I would set their disc aside. So I set it aside in my writer and made a copy for myself so that we could have that. It happens, Mark. It happens. Interestingly, something I've discovered over the years, technicians are, in fact, actual human beings.
Right.
And sometimes they do human things like make mistakes.
Like I said, I've used different shops over the years, and I've found places that I like the way they do things. And like you said, it's a personal preference. And when you find one, you stick with them and support your local shops. They are good. Just some are better than others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly right.
You have to be aware.
Yep. Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have fun. It's a. Particularly when a shop is good, it gets very busy, and when a shop is very busy, that's when little errors like those can creep in. They're not dangerous issues.
No.
Just
not malicious ones.
Right, and certainly not malicious. Just a small breakdown in the steps.
Yep.
You know, everybody takes, you know, people get complacent. People are human. Odd thing, but it's true.
Well, that's like with
they
me.
They get complacent,
right?
And they skip a step.
And, you know, some folks get impatient because, you know, I'm doing it part-time now.
Right.
I'm retired.
Right.
So I do it part-time. And, you know, we do it by appointment. You bring it in, I'll work on it. No biggie, but it's going to be on my time schedule. And some folks get a little impatient, and I understand that. But, you know,
we often say we wish they hadn't been called personal computers.
Right.
Because everyone takes it so personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be? I can't live without my computer.
Yeah.
Well, it's broken. You're going to have to. It might take a day or two.
Yep.
If we have to order parts, it might be more.
And people do the same thing with cars.
Yep.
You know, I need my car immediately. Well, you ran it into a tree, so it's pretty unlikely that's going to happen.
Or I get, well, how long is it going to take to do all the scans? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how
and
long
I sit there and my crystal ball is broken right now, and it's not giving me time estimates. You know, it's going to take whatever it takes. I'm not going to rush it.
Right.
If you want the job done right, I'm not going to skip steps, like you said.
Then you get people confused on the other side, too. You know, you give them an hourly rate, and you say it's going to take 3-4 hours to finish a scan. So, oh, I don't want to pay, you know, for 3 hours. No, you pay a bench rate, and then we just sit there and let it run.
Right.
So if it takes 2 days, you're not paying 48 hours of labor.
Right, right, right. But people don't, people, you know, and the other thing is, of course, you know, you can rent a car.
Mm-hmm.
If you do run your car into a tree, you can rent another one while yours is being fixed. That's not as easy to do with computers. I get that.
There used to be a rental company in Rochester. There are national rental companies that will ship you a computer to rent, but that takes a day or
yeah.
two.
Right. All right.
One last thing. We used to have a rental computer in our shop, and the first time it came back broken or didn't come back at all, we stopped doing rental computers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I get that. I get that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hi, Dennis. What's up?
I wanted to talk to you about rebooting routers. I have a Time Warner package that's phone, internet, and TV.
Sure.
And my router is, I get 40 megabytes per second download, so it's not the newest router, newest modem router. I rebooted it. And but I also read after that that Consumer Reports says you're supposed to do a factory default reset on it. Do I really need to do a factory default reset on it?
No.
Only if there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. If there is in fact a problem, then you should do that. Here's the deal. It's a multi-stage attack. The first stage infects your router with a very small program that it is very difficult, then you're impossible to remove. It doesn't matter if you reboot it, if you do a factory reset, if you open it up and scrub it out with a toothbrush. It's still very, very hard to get rid of that first stage. Luckily, the only thing the first stage did was go to a specific website and download the second stage.
Okay.
The FBI took over that website, so there's no second stage anymore.
Okay.
The second stage then infects your router with a more, with a bigger and more dangerous program, but it is not persistent. It can't be because it's too big and does too many weird things. So rebooting your router, if you were infected, you still have that first stage infection, which does nothing because there's nothing it can do anymore, but you get rid of the second or third stage infections. So okay. Rebooting your router now means you are safe once again. But Consumer Reports, even doing a factory reset, doesn't kill that first level infection.
Okay. Okay.
And some routers, as the best call you had last week too, some routers don't have a power switch.
Right.
So you reboot it by unplugging it, waiting a minute or three, and then plugging it back in again. And on the Apple router, like many routers, the pinhole in the back is to do the factory reset, which then loses your name and your password and any settings you've put into it.
Right.
And
the other thing is that many routers have a small web server built in. So if you browse with your web browser to the router itself, you can log in there, and there's usually a reset button as well. All right, we got to take a break. Are we done, Dennis?
Thank you, yes.
Okay, thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ramey, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. While we were on break, we had a couple of text messages. What's that text number, Dave? Do you have that there?
The text message number is 585-2.
I'm sorry. Our text number. Not the sender's number.
Right.
Yeah, 585-209-9010.
That's also on our website at soundbites.org. Our first text message was from Virginia, mm-hmm. the state. Not the state itself did not. All right, never mind. From someone in Virginia, he or she missed the first hour and so did not know if we had talked about Microsoft buying, well, they're in talks to buy GitHub. Do we think that's a positive or a negative? GitHub is a repository for millions upon millions of free software things, and Microsoft is now in talks to buy them. Microsoft has bought any number of other things and shut them down. They've also bought things like LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, and they haven't shut that down, and they haven't changed it in any way. So, of course, we right now do not know.
Right.
But if, in fact, that happens, there's still there are other places like GitLab, GITLAB is one. Bitbucket is another. They may not be as well known. Also, don't forget Microsoft acquired Xamarin, X-A-M-A-R-I-N, which was a very expensive option, and they made it free. So we don't know quite what's going to happen yet.
To be determined.
As long as they don't screw it up.
Right. It's well, yeah. It's and to be fair, some of that stuff was obviously pre-Nadella. Satya Nadella is now the CEO of Microsoft, and some of that was done under Ballmer. So we'll see what happens. Microsoft owns Minecraft. And that seems to be doing pretty well. So the possibility is that it will be fine. But we'll see as time goes on. That's something we'll certainly keep an eye on. We'll see. The other text message question was from Mike, who wanted to know about an antivirus product called WebRoot and whether it was any good. It is, I think, a $40 product, mm-hmm. and it seems to be getting pretty decent reviews, 4.5, 4.75, whatever. It's more than an antivirus because it is also anti-malware. So if you do get something like WebRoot, the paid version of WebRoot, you don't necessarily need malware bytes or that stuff. But it is also a good, like we've been saying, nothing is 100%, at least on any given day, because they leapfrog each other, mm-hmm. right? And as they do that, they have, they get broken and they fix it and they get broken and they fix it. So they're leapfrogging each other as to who's the best at any given time. One of the things that you might want to do is take a look at PC Magazine. They have a yearly, more than a yearly update on various antivirus programs, and they just did one, and this is the 2018 Best Security Suites. Now, these are whole suites, right? So these are things that cost money, and so what they cost and what they do, and WebRoot got a 4 out of 5. The only one that got more was Bitdefender, which is $45, and Kaspersky, which is $40. And Symantec, which is $40, the Norton Defender, Norton Security Suite. So the various products that are there will show you what they do. Nobody does everything. For example, WebRoot doesn't do anti-spam. It doesn't have parental controls, et cetera, et cetera. So, but it does do backups, and it does do tune-ups, and it does do firewall. So, you want to be able to check out what they do and how they do it and all of the cool things that are there. So, yeah, it's not a bad program. None of them really are 100%. And that's just simply a fact of life. And like we said, it's all about, it's horse races. You pays your money, you takes your chance.
Generally, the issue with the big security suites is slowing your machine down, trying to do too much at once. That was always a problem with Norton for years, but the more recent versions, they claim to have worked on that.
They rewrote it.
Yeah, they rewrote it to make it run faster. And one of the things we're seeing, sort of the same as over the years, most computers these days come with a minimum of 8 gigs of memory. So when software is written, it's written assuming you have 8 gigs of memory. So right. if your machine might only have 2 or 4, it can be a little tricky running too many programs at once.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Linda from Rochester, New York. Hi, Linda. What's up?
I am looking for a way to be able to sort photos by date taken and not have it default to the name first.
What do you have, Windows or a Mac?
Windows. Windows 10.
All right. What do you mean by date taken? Are these photo folders?
Yes.
Okay.
I have from several different cameras when we go on a vacation.
Right.
And I want to be able to do it by the date taken to get them all in chronological order.
Yeah, you need a photo management program.
Picasa does that.
Picasa's gone.
I'm sorry, what was that one?
No, I think Picasa's still around.
Google Picasa? That's been changed to Google Photos, hasn't
right.
it? Adobe Photoshop Album is a common one. Windows used to come with one, but it doesn't anymore.
I know.
See, they're talking about Windows 10 Picture Manager, which has been renamed to SharePoint Design. No, that's not right.
No. There's a bunch. CyberLink has something called Photo Director 9. There's something called Magix with an X. Corel PaintShop Pro has something. All of these cost money, but most of them do decent amounts of file management. Most of them. CyberLink Photo Director 9 seems to be pretty much the best. It's $60, but it seems to do the most. One of the things, I'm cheap, okay, and I take a lot of pictures. What I do is when I do that, I name my folders by the year and then inside that by the month. And then I just, you know, and I do it by numbers so that they line up alphabetically or numerically in this case. And when I'm putting out folders that are important, excuse me, date-wise, I do it by the two-digit year, followed by the two-digit month, followed by the two-digit day, and they sort correctly. So, you know, this would be 180602.
But then you have to name them yourselves.
Well, I'm talking about the yep. folders.
Right.
And then the files that are in them are all from that month, which is the kind of thing yep. she's talking about doing.
Yeah.
But if you
and they tend to do that, but it's when I'm trying to combine photos from other people that were on the trip with us.
Right, yeah. right. For that, you really want a photo manager because those will take into account what's called the metadata, the data that's built into the file that says when it was taken. And you need a photo management software for that. And Steve can put up a link of
links to free ones for and
free ones as well as commercial ones. And we'll have that link online.
I appreciate it.
At soundbites.org. And I get it. A lot of people have these issues. A lot of people have these questions. And believe me, we get it.
They say Picasa is still out there. The latest version for 2018, free download.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Google has discontinued it and replaced it with Google Photos.
Right. Okay. It's still out. Picasa is still out there.
So the old version is still there, but it's not under development anymore.
Right.
And it did a great job. I mean, it started.
It did do a great job, but yeah. Now they want to use folders.
Yeah. So you might look at that one, too, because you can always install and then uninstall it.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, good luck. We'll put that link up in just a moment.
Yeah, we were doing that for the rocket launch last weekend. I took 600 pictures, and one of the organizers, they're collecting all the photos to try to put together a big web album, and you've got photos from dozens of people, different cameras, named differently, and...
If you can sort them through the metadata by time
yep.
and date, then they'll automatically sort correctly.
You hope everyone's camera had the right date and time.
Well, there's that. Yeah. There's no magic, right? Yep. There's no magic.
Yep. Good luck with that.
I got a lot of pictures of smoke trails and a lot of pictures of rockets sitting there. And every now and then, I catch the picture of the rocket launching.
Yeah, right. One of the things that I want to remind people, as long as we're talking about pictures, back up.
Yes.
One thing that breaks my heart is when I get the kind of email that says, I've got pictures of my grandchildren, mm-hmm. or I've got pictures of my mother who has passed, and I don't, and I, you know, what do I do? And now they're lost. My computer died or whatever. Yep. What can I do? Well, it's now too late. It's a barn door issue. If the horses have escaped, doesn't matter what you do with the barn door. Back up your photos now. And for Pete's sake, back them up in multiple places. Google Photos is a free service. You get 15 gigs. But again, when you set it up, you can go into the settings and say, upload. There's two settings. One is called, I forget what they're called. I'll look them up in a moment. But in one, again, they don't take up your quota when you, I've got 15,000 photos on Google Photos and they take up zero space.
Yep.
Because they're in Google's format. And so, and I can still download them and send them to people and link, make the links go to people and everything else. But I also have them on my computer, so I've got two copies of them. Plus, I burn them to CD regularly, so I've got three copies. Plus, I've got them on another hard drive on another machine, so I've got four copies. I do not want to lose my stuff.
No.
And neither do you. So be sure to back up your stuff. All right, that music subtly tells me that we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'll even thank myself, Nick Francesco. I want to thank all of you. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow so it's safe to listen. And we will be back to you next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And again, truly grateful to you because we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we will see you in just 166 hours. Be good.